This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has backed off a threat made earlier by Moscow of retaliation for the downing of a Russian aircraft over Syrian territory that the Kremlin said was indirectly caused by Israeli warplanes. Mr. Putin said it looks more like a chain of tragic, accidental circumstances, but Israeli planes did not take down the Russian aircraft with a loss of 15 on board. Russia's defense ministry said Syrian anti-aircraft batteries downed the plane, and it holds Israel responsible for only giving Russia a minute's warning and exposing the plane to crossfire. Mr. Putin spoke about the incident with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, telling him agreements to avoid such dangerous incidents were not observed. Meanwhile, Special UN Envoy to Syria, Stefan de Mistura, welcomed the agreement between Russia and Turkey to establish a demilitarized zone to allow radical elements to leave Idlib province with its 3 million civilians and avoid an assault on the last major rebel stronghold.
We are pleased that there is de-escalation in one major area, Idlib. And now that we have this deal, there is no reason not to move forward expeditiously with the political process.
Damascus also welcomed the agreement, but vowed to pursue efforts to recover every inch of Syrian territory. As Zimbabwe's President Emmerson Mnangagwa delivered his first State of the Union address, opposition members of parliament walked out over the disputed July election. Among them, Movement for Democratic Change National Chairperson Tabitha Kumalo.
We are saying Mnangagwa is illegitimate, and we want him to prove to us how many votes he can have. And there is the issue of us dealing with the issue of the stolen elections, which they have to be rectified.
Mr. Mnangagwa told lawmakers the election is now passed and it's time to focus on delivering promises made to the electorate. This is VOA News. There was renewed violence Tuesday between Israelis and Palestinians. Israeli troops killed two Palestinians in clashes along the Gaza border. The clashes occurred late in the day at the Eretz crossing point as Israel observed the Yom Kippur holiday. Dozens were injured as youths threw stones at troops and set fires. In Jerusalem, a Palestinian man was shot and killed when he tried to stab a Jewish worshiper near the Damascus Gate. At the inter-Korean summit in Pyongyang, South Korea's President Moon Jae-in and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are expected to issue a joint statement Wednesday, the second day of their three-day meeting, that might give an idea how they will deepen bilateral ties and rekindle stalled nuclear talks. Heather Nauert is a U.S. spokesperson.
We hope to see a meaningful, verifiable steps toward the denuclearization of North Korea. It is the third inter-Korean summit between President Moon and also Chairman Kim. It represents, in our view, a historic opportunity for Chairman Kim to follow through on the commitments that he made to President Trump at the Singapore summit, but also the commitments that he made in Panmunjom.
The North Korean leader at that meeting in April pledged to work toward the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is to host a meeting of the U.N. Security Council on North Korea September 27th. The International Criminal Court's prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, Tuesday opened a preliminary investigation into alleged crimes targeting the Rohingya Muslim community in Myanmar, also known as Burma.
The judges of the pretrial chamber 1 have confirmed that this court may indeed exercise jurisdiction over the alleged deportation of the Rohingya people from Myanmar to Bangladesh, as well as potentially other crimes under the Rome Statute.
At the same time, a UN fact-finding mission on Myanmar issued a 440-page report denouncing what it called the extreme brutality of Myanmar's security forces. Britain and Finland have frozen funding to Zambia, suspecting it of misusing the funds. President Edward Lungu said late Tuesday in a statement he wants a speedy and decisive investigation into the matter. U.S.-Canadian negotiators meet Wednesday for another round of trade talks aimed at forging a replacement to the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Canada's Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland said there will be no negotiation in public.
I think that that agreement has served us well. It has helped to create a real atmosphere of trust and good faith at the negotiating table.
The U.S., which reached a separate NAFTA deal with partner Mexico last month, has imposed a deadline of October 1st. Wall Street rallied Tuesday despite trade tensions with China, the benchmark Dow Jones adding 185 points to 26,246. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.